Thank you. That was the new song for me. I want to thank everyone that's been involved in participating and helping in our worship service. That's all of us. If you're here, if you've been singing and being involved, that's everybody. I recently read something that I had heard before, and that is that an architect said something that is truly amazing about the amount of work that it takes to maintain the bridge. When I'm talking about the bridge, which bridge do you think I'm talking about? The Golden Gate Bridge, that's right, San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge. This architect said that the bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge, is painted virtually every day of the year. Not the whole bridge, but some of the bridge. In other words, by the time the work is done, it's time to start all over again. The work of maintaining the Golden Gate Bridge is never done. Instead, it's literally an ongoing process. If constant care was not done for that bridge, there would be serious trouble. The bridge would be in jeopardy of extensive and expensive wear and tear, in addition to the cosmetic appearance. Now, it's interesting, if you've been across the bridge and you look at it up close, it doesn't always look as good up close, does it? You see lots of funny different, the colors aren't always matched and it looks a little funny sometimes up close. Imagine what that bridge would look like if it wasn't maintained. I would like to suggest to us this morning that taking care of our lives in all of their dimensions, that's physical, mental, spiritual, social, emotional, relational, sexual, the whole ball of wax, is much like painting the Golden Gate Bridge. It never ends. Jack agrees. There's always something to do. Always. Always something to do. Because if we're honest, there's always something in our lives that can use some improvement. We always need some paint somewhere. And I'm not talking about cosmetic covering up. I'm talking about real maintenance. And you know, once we come to expect and think of life like that, it can be an enormous relief. Because, you know, sometimes instead of thinking, oh no, I have flaws in my life, I have work to do, we can think, I have room for improvement, and I always will. Big difference, isn't it? Big difference in the way we approach life. There will never come a time when I can honestly say on this planet, I have arrived with no room for growth. That will not happen, if I'm honest. If I say that, I'm deceived. There will always be something in my inbox, and some people don't like that. You know what I'm talking about? When I talk about an inbox and an outbox, a lot of times you see desks or cartoons, and there's an inbox and an outbox. Well, if there's stuff for you to do, you put it in the inbox. Then once you finish it, you put it in the outbox. Well, I would like to suggest that as long as we are alive on planet Earth, there will always be something in our inbox. Always, always something in the inbox. And some people get very overwhelmed by that. They get nervous. They get frustrated when we think about all there is to learn and grow. Some of us that have been involved with working with people through the years in Bible studies and church growth, they say, oh my, there's so much to learn. I wish I just knew it all. I used to feel that way. You know, I used to long for the day when I had it all figured out you know, and I can just put it in a nice package and put a ribbon around it and just be there giving it out to everybody. Well, I've got a lot I don't know. Still learning, never arriving. So some people don't like that. Some people think there's something wrong with them if they haven't arrived. Well, you know what? There is something wrong with them. In fact, there's something wrong with all of us. We're normal human beings. It's the way it is. There will always be maintenance that can be done. If you look at the front of the bulletin, there is a text that I had put there that comes from Creation Week. And this is before the fall of Adam and Eve. Before the fall. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden. And notice what the rest of it says. To work it and take care of it. Now, those of us that have yards, there's always something to do, isn't there? Have gardens, have yards. Well, Adam and Eve discovered that early on. There was something for them to do in the garden. And we're just talking about the garden. You add your life to the garden, and it can be very overwhelming sometimes. But if it was that way before the fall, if it needed to be worked and taken care of, and by the way, that's a never-ending task, it's maintenance. Think about when sin came into the picture with weeds and thorns and thistles and pests, and it compounds it. We know that. We all know that. But sometimes we need to be reminded of that. Turn with me in your Bible to Psalm 106. I didn't look it up in the page number of the Pew Bibles, but the book of Psalms is usually quite easy to find. The book of Psalms, by the way, for a trivial quiz, the book of Psalms has no chapters. There are no chapters in the book of Psalms. They're only psalms. They're songs. They're not chapters. They're songs. In fact, if you look at them, they say Psalm 106, 107, 108. No chapters in the book of Psalms. So, Psalm 106, the 106th psalm. Notice verse 3. The psalmist writes, "Blessed are they who maintain justice, who constantly do what is right." Notice two key words, the two verbs, the action activity, who maintain justice, who constantly do. That gives me the idea of justice and righteousness is a never-ending task of maintaining, of doing what it's right, of growing in that area. No end to it. It takes constant work to maintain justice and righteousness. One of the big reasons is because there's injustice and unrighteousness in the world. And so to maintain the other takes work. It's interesting. There's from the research that talks about negativity and positivity, it's been shown that many times the negative influence can overpower the positive. You have a group of people together. Now, we have this in small groups, and I've got to share this, and I'm talking to myself as a group facilitator, that when there is a negative influence just from one person in a group, it has a tendency to overpower and overwhelm all the rest. It seems that that's not fair, but that's the way it is in life, how just one small negative influence can overpower the positive. And that's why it takes constant, diligent effort to be on top of negativity. It takes constant, ongoing effort and energy to maintain justice and righteousness. It never ends. We sometimes get tired of it, but it never ends. That's the way it is in this world. You know, we have the tendency, some of us, we long to We long, there's a song, we long the song of heaven and homeland. We long for that, don't we? We have the tendency to fantasize about when all the jobs are finally finished. Then we'll feel relaxed and satisfied. I would like to suggest, again, remind ourselves, in this world, those jobs will never be finished. They will not. And the sooner I understand and accept that fact, the better off I am. Individual tasks may be done. We may move things from the inbox to the outbox, but there's always other things coming into the inbox, right? They keep on coming in. The maintenance goes on and on and on and on. The kitchen remodel and building may be done. Right, Fred? But that's not the end of the maintenance. We may remodel the fellowship hall. You know what's going to happen this Tuesday? Carpet's going to get cleaned this Tuesday. Hey, you like that? So if you have a meeting in the fellowship hall this Tuesday, it's not going to be there. Look at your bulletin. It's going to be someplace different because we have to maintain the carpet. It's going to be clean this Tuesday. Maintenance. The job may be done of building it or remodeling, but the maintenance never ends. So expect it. Let's feel less frustrated over the fact that we're not done maintaining. Make a choice to refuse to let it bug us. Then we can feel good about the jobs that do get done. However, painting the bridge never ends. Now, having said that, I need to say something else. When I shared this with someone earlier this week about what I was going to talk about, they said to me, "You need to record this last part." And I said, "I know why, because I need to play it back and listen to it myself, don't I?" They said, "Yep." So I'm talking to myself. Having said what I've said, I believe we also need to realize that too much of anything, even maintaining and doing good stuff, too much is just that, too much. Regardless of how much we see that needs to be done, there is something healthful and peaceful and rejuvenating about looking at our calendar and putting a spot and say, nothing. No maintenance. Right here, you know. Some people call it white spots in their calendars. You know, sometimes we feel good about having our calendars just jam full with stuff. Sometimes we need to make white spots. You could call it me time. And I'm not talking about a selfish me. I'm talking about maintaining ourselves. It's really maintaining ourselves. But we need unplanned white space in our calendars, if we have calendars, to catch up, maybe even to do nothing, to play, to have fun, to relax, a time in our calendars where there's absolutely nothing that's planned that's work. You know, that can help bring sanity to one's life. It can help one realize that there is more to life than hectic busyness. And most of us realize that life has a lot of hectic busyness. Now, I realize different people have different situations in their lives at different times. Sometimes people are without work, they're between jobs, they may be without a job, they may be retired, and they may wish they had more things to do. I realize what I'm saying does not apply to everybody all the time, but it does apply to a lot of people a lot of times. I think most of us are very familiar with the counsel that Jesus gave to his disciples in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verse 31. I'm going to find it here, Matthew, Mark, and read it to you. Mark chapter 6, verse 31 reads as follows. I'm going to start with verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Get some rest. If I waited for everything to get done before I allowed some time for rest, I'd never have time to rest. Because we just finished saying, maintenance never ends. There's always something to do. So if we waited for everything to get done before we rested, we'll never rest. Instead, our calendar and our schedule fills up with all sorts of commitments from ourselves, commitments from other people, approached, you know, from others. Not only do we have our own agenda of what we want to accomplish, we have our spouses, we have our kids, we have our family, we have friends, we have our job, we have the church, we have the school, it may be our neighbors, could even be strangers, you know, phone calls, come and make demands of our time. It could be the stranger at the door. All of these are infringements upon our time. There are so many people wanting a piece of our time. And that can happen. When that happens, we could have little or no time for ourselves. And it seems to me that the only solution for that needs to be scheduling time for myself and respecting that. Respecting the time for myself with the same degree of respect and commitment that I have when I schedule it for somebody else. We don't do that very well sometimes. We don't do that. You know, we make an appointment with a doctor and we have the respect and courtesy to show up at his office, I hope. Or somebody makes an appointment to come see us or whatever. We may need to make an appointment with us. Make an appointment with yourself. And then I realize there are emergencies. Well, emergencies come up when I have a doctor's appointment. If my house is burning down, I'm not going to go show up at the doctor's office. I'm going to call and cancel. There are emergencies, but if we need to make an appointment with ourselves and keep it. I mean, we do that with vacations. Some people do. Some people don't take vacations. Some people pride themselves in saying, you know, I haven't had a vacation in 6 years. That's sad. So we do that with vacations. We need to do that. Why not with smaller blocks of time? It doesn't have to be a large block of time. We may find it helpful to actually write those down in our calendars. I knew a person who their life was so busy that they needed to have fun, and they, even if they didn't know what they were going to do, they would schedule times in their calendar where they would put either fun or humor or play or something, and they would block out a time for that. Then if someone called for an appointment at that time, they would say, "I already have an appointment then." You don't have to tell them what it is. They might not understand it. But you do. You have an appointment. And they would do that. They would make an appointment. Sometimes people would do it for an entire day. I've read of people that have been so overwhelmed, they'll just go and take a good book and sit on the beach or by a lake or out in the woods, just get away. This takes getting used to for some of us. For some, they think it's selfish. It can be difficult learning to say that, you know, I need time for me. But what we need to realize, however, as God's children, we are worth it. We need balance in our lives. Doesn't mean that my time with me is more valuable than my time with you. Just means that it's all important. Me time is important. Can help keep my life from getting too hectic, from overwhelming. It can also help us be more efficient in the time that we do spend with other people, more effective. When we have our own needs met in healthy ways, we can discover it's easier to share with others willfully, choosing to do it, not out of regret, not out of anger or bitterness, but freely choosing to do it. So how you doing on painting your bridge? A lot of room to grow, isn't there, for all of us? Some thoughts on painting your bridge. Thanks for coming. Let me pray with you. Father, we thank you this morning that we can share, that we can learn, that we can grow, that we can live up to the potential we have as your children. Help us to be effective. Help us to be efficient. Help us to maintain our relationships with you, with others, and ourselves as we grow and wait for your coming. It is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.